Hello, my friends. It's Thursday, April 17th, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. So much to get to on today's show, including updates on the ongoing case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. His senator, Chris Van Hollen, flew down to El Salvador, met with the vice president down there, and he will give us some updates on what's happening. Also, the Fox News propaganda arm is working overtime, trying to paint Abrego Garcia as some terrible MS-13 gang member, digging up some terrible information from his past to try to smear him. We'll get to all the details coming up in our first segment. Also coming up on the show, we've got audio from RFK Jr., who is going off on autistic kids with some disgusting smears that I definitely have to address. We've got more on Musk and Doge as they continue to ransack our federal government. It's not just the cutting of all of the positions and the various organizations and departments that we have to fear. It's now the theft of our data that is happening. Then I've got an interesting little anecdote that I picked up from online about a woman complaining about DEI and how DEI is being used against her in the workplace. We'll kind of unravel that mystery. You don't need Scooby-Doo to figure this one out. Then an update on Harvard University, who is out $2.2 billion from the Trump administration because they refuse to cave to his DEI purge. We've got some updates on how the Trump administration is responding. Then in our regular Boycott Idaho segment, we've got some news on glass shops in the state of Idaho that recently got raided. And I'll give you a look at the horrific paraphernalia laws in the state of Idaho. They will shock you. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant where a note that I saw in a parking lot wants me to discuss the violent left in this country, the violence on the left. So yeah, we'll take a look at that all coming up at the end of the show. But before we get to all of that, I wanted to make a comment on the amazing level of chutzpah being demonstrated by the Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who I will never fail to remind you was approved 99-0 by the U.S. Senate. Every single Democrat approved of Marco Rubio. He was recently speaking about how the State Department is working to restore free speech for Americans living abroad in Europe. Rubio says, quote, "Our number one priority is Americans. We don't want to see an American who happens to be living in London or happens to be living in Europe post something online about American politics or any politics, and all of a sudden they're facing ramifications over there," end quote. What? Well, first of all, what he's talking about is the fact that Europe has a bit different laws when it comes to speech. You can't be praising Hitler. You can't be posting hate speech. So that must be what he's talking about, is Americans getting caught up for posting vile, hateful stuff in violation of the laws in Europe. So, you know, when you're in Europe, you got to follow Europe's laws. But the sheer chutzpah of this guy who is actively scanning through the social media feeds of international students, students on visas, trying to find what they might happen to be saying online about American politics or any politics. And then all of a sudden, they're facing ramifications. Yeah, like losing their visas, like being deported, kicked out of the country. Who knows, even abducted and sent over to our gulag in El Salvador. Jesus, my God, man. Have you no shame? And speaking of no shame, one other thing I wanted to address. I've been talking about the Golden Office. You know how Trump has taken the Oval Office and festooned it in gold. It's all covered in gold. All the gold leaf and gold filigree and gold frames around the portraits and gold vases and such. Well, on my social media feed from John Keegan at johnkeegan.com, he posts that I noticed a bunch of these ornate gold medallions slapped over the Oval Office. We found them on Alibaba. Alibaba is the, you know, Chinese Amazon, right? High density home decoration, polyurethane appliques, ornament, PU foam veneer accessories. From seller Guangzhou Homax Decorative Material Limited. So that's right, Trump, Mr. Anti-China, decorating his Oval Office in gold with stuff he's buying off Alibaba. the Chinese website. And worse than that, the stuff that he's getting off Alibaba itself isn't gold. It's this polyurethane foam kind of thing. And the order price on these things is $1 to $5 a piece with a minimum order of 50. So at most, all that stuff you're seeing in the Oval Office decoration, at most, he shelled out $250 for it. At least, at the minimum, it could be just $50 for all that gold filigreed stuff all over, which is just polyurethane that apparently is just spray painted gold. Just spray painted gold. This is the most trailer trash administration of all time. We've got a few new developments to talk about in the case of Kilmore Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man and father and husband who was kidnapped, abducted, and renditioned down to our concentration camp in El Salvador. His senator, Chris Van Hollen, flew down to El Salvador yesterday, hoping to meet with him. He was unable to get any proof of life with regards to Abrego Garcia. The vice president that he met with said that Abrego Garcia is alive, said that he's in custody, but would not grant any visitation, nor would he grant any phone call to Abrego Garcia, saying that it would take time for those sorts of things to be set up. Let's hear from the senator himself.
I've had back-to-back meetings here in El Salvador with our team from the American Embassy, with the vice president of El Salvador, with human rights groups. And the entire purpose has been to bring Abrego Garcia home because U.S. courts have determined that he was illegally abducted from the United States and now finds himself in the most notorious prison in El Salvador. The Supreme Court, 9-0, has told the Trump administration they must facilitate his return home. They've refused to do it. So I called upon the government of El Salvador to do it unless they can provide evidence that he's been involved in MS-13. They said they had no evidence. So this is not about MS-13. I know President Trump wants to make this about gang violence. I have been fighting MS-13 probably longer than Donald Trump even knew about MS-13. I care about every victim of crime. That's why we have a court system to hold people accountable when they commit crimes, to make sure that they get the punishment they deserve. We also have a court system to make sure that people who have not committed crimes or not been convicted of crimes are not disappeared out of the United States and sent to a notorious prison in El Salvador, like Abrego Garcia. This is simply about letting him have his day in court. We use the courts to make sure that we don't convict people who are not guilty and that we convict those who are.
What a simple concept. Let people have their day in court. If the administration really believes that Kilmore Abrego Garcia is a notorious member of MS-13 and committing all sorts of violence and being a threat to the United States, bring it to court. But so far, every bit of things that have been brought to court have failed to prove anything that the federal government is alleging. The man has been in the United States for 14 years. He doesn't have a criminal record. Everything they're going off here is off of hearsay and testimony from others who have plenty of reason to lie. But they're going full bore on this. They know they've been caught, and they can recognize that the American people are waking up to this and are very upset about the notion of going without any sort of court jurisdictions, without any sort of evidence, that this could happen to any one of us. So they're ramping it up on Fox News, making sure that people that are listening to that news, Oregon, are hearing nothing but lies about Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Let me give you an example with Attorney General Pam Bondi working on the Sean Hannity show.
Under Donald Trump's incredible plan to get these alien enemies, these terrorists out of our country, he is deported. He is deported back to where he came from, El Salvador. He is sitting in a prison, and every American should be thanking President Trump tonight, and every liberal journalist who has called him a Maryland man and saying he was rightfully in this country should be apologizing tonight to President Trump.
This is how Fox News and their other propaganda organs are trying to smear the reporting on Kilmer Abrego Garcia by using scare quotes around Maryland man. They're trying to make a joke out of this as if he is not someone who has been living in Maryland for the past 14 years. The latest salvo from these disgusting cretins is that they are pulling out a domestic violence report that was filed by his wife, Jennifer Vasquez, the American woman, in 2021. This domestic violence accusation was her reporting him for getting violent with her, having a domestic dispute. And they put the details into the report about how she was afraid of him, he was violent, left some bruises, etc., to try to smear him as some sort of violent wife beater. His wife has responded. Jennifer Vasquez has responded to this in an exclusive statement to Newsweek saying, quote, "After surviving domestic violence in a previous relationship, I acted out of caution following a disagreement with Kilmer by seeking a civil protective order in case things escalated. Things did not escalate, and I decided not to follow through with a civil court process. We were able to work through the situation privately as a family, including by going to counseling. Our marriage only grew stronger in the years that followed. No one is perfect, and no marriage is perfect. But that is not a justification for ICE's action of abducting him and deporting him to a country where he was supposed to be protected from removal. Kilmer has always been a loving partner and father, and I will continue to stand by him and demand justice for him." End quote. So the wife is dismissing the domestic violence accusations that Fox News is now trumpeting all over their programs to try to once again smear Kilmer Armando Abrego Garcia. They're also bringing up new documents, supposedly, that they say, Department of Homeland Security says, definitely proves that Abrego Garcia was a member of the notorious MS-13 gang. You ready for the proof? This is the definitive proof that Abrego Garcia is a deadly terrorist MS-13 member. According to a Prince George's County Police Department interview sheet, an interview sheet shared with Fox News, local police discovered Abrego Garcia during a murder investigation. Police found him loitering in a Home Depot parking lot with other known MS-13 gang members in possession of illicit drugs in 2019. Okay, first of all, they were investigating a murder, not a murder he committed. Not a murder he was suspected of committing. They were in the process of investigating a murder and in doing so interviewed many people and in doing so found a bunch of them hanging out around a Home Depot. Wow. Hispanic people hanging out around a Home Depot. How strange that is. Come on, man. And if some of them hanging out there had been MS-13 gang members, okay, so now it's guilt by association. You happen to be standing there trying to get maybe some day work at the Home Depot, and if you're standing around them, now you're one of them. That's how that works now. And who was in the possession of illicit drugs? Was it Abrego Garcia, or was it one of these other people, the alleged MS-13 gang members? The story goes on to say the police department's gang unit MS-13 intelligence squad conducted an interview with Abrego Garcia and contacted a past proven and reliable source who identified him as an active member of MS-13 with the Westerns clique, with the rank of Chequeo and the moniker of Chele. Oh, I see. A confidential informant, a source, said he was MS-13, and he was hanging out in a parking lot with people who were MS-13. Well, goodness, he must be an MS-13 gang member. This couldn't be circumstantial evidence and hearsay, could it? Which is why they refuse to try to take this through court. They cannot prove their allegations. This is all circumstantial evidence and hearsay, trying to gin up the fear amongst the Fox News viewers to justify the inhumane treatment and the extrajudicial kidnapping and rendition of a man who the courts had already adjudicated should not be returned to El Salvador. The courts already determined his life was at threat should he be returned. They also trotted out someone who was a victim of one of these MS-13 gang members, Rachel Morin, a 39-year-old Maryland mother, who was raped and murdered by a Salvadoran illegal immigrant. They brought the mother of her out to discuss the issue, criticizing Van Hollen, saying he didn't even acknowledge her daughter and the brutal death at the hands of MS-13. Now she's upset that he's using taxpayer dollars to fly to El Salvador to bring someone back that's not even American citizen. DHS posted on X, quote, Kilmar Abrego Garcia is not a Maryland man. He is an MS-13 gang member involved in human trafficking who entered the United States illegally. His deportation to El Salvador was always going to be the end result, end quote. Notice they've added the human trafficking part in now, too, with absolutely no evidence that he has been involved in anything of the sort. All of these documents that they keep providing from investigations and interviews are things that you take to a court. And when they have taken to the courts, the courts have found no proof of any of these allegations. The man himself has no criminal record. He's been in the United States for 14 years. And some of the other ways that they're trying to identify him as a notorious MS-13 gang member, on Jesse Waters' show, they point out that he was wearing Bulls gear. He's wearing a Chicago Bulls hat in 2019 when they picked him up in the Home Depot parking lot with all the MS-13 gang members. And apparently, wearing Chicago Bulls gear is the uniform of MS-13, because they were in Maryland. Why would someone in Maryland be wearing Chicago Bulls gear? And the Bulls lost 60 games in 2019, so who would ever wear a Bulls hat when they were such losers? Can he even name anybody on the Chicago Bulls? Everyone from El Salvador knows what it means when you wear a Bulls hat. There's nothing he can do. He lives in Maryland for 14 years. He's wearing a Chicago Bulls hat, but he's not really a Bulls fan. He's a dad from Maryland, but he's not really a Maryland dad. And here's the other thing. Even if these things were true, even if he was a member of MS-13, a repeat violent domestic abuser, a trafficker of human beings, even if this were all true, you don't just pick him up off the street and ship him down to El Salvador without a trial, without due process. In fact, you don't do that to any of them that are down there in El Salvador. This is one of the things that's kind of worrying me a bit about this case, is so much energy is being devoted to pointing out that he's not MS-13 and he's a Maryland man and he's a father and he was innocent. We're kind of losing track of the fact that even the guilty ones, the allegedly guilty ones, deserve due process. This is how we determine who the criminals actually are. And once again, we do not ship the criminals to gulags, to death camps. Because that's my other fear here. that all of these delay tactics, all of this stalling, all of this demonization of Abrego Garcia and the refusal to provide proof of life leads me to believe there isn't any. That there is no proof of life because he's no longer alive. And I think as we dig deeper into this case that continues to gather more headlines, we're going to find out the stunning truth that we have set up a system of death camps, that we have proposed the final solution to illegal immigration. Robert Fuckwit Kennedy is back in the news for his latest speech decrying the epidemic, the so-called epidemic of autism in the United States. This has gone viral because a lot of people have been disgusted by what he had to say. Give a listen for yourself.
This is an individual tragedy as well. Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. These are children who should not be suffering like this. These are kids who, many of them, were fully functional and regressed because of some environmental exposure into autism when they're 2 years old. And these are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. And we have to recognize we are doing this to our children. And we need to put an end to it.
Folks, that's straight up Nazi shit. This is straight up eugenics bullshit coming from Robert Fuckwit Kennedy. And I want people to understand how these guys think and what he's actually saying here. First of all, when it comes to autistic kids, no, not all autistic kids are as severely developmentally disabled as what he describes here. There are plenty of autistic kids that are going to be paying taxes and going to dances and doing all the things that everyone else does. Now, I'm loath to self-diagnose. I'll accept that I'm a bit neurodivergent. I don't know if I'm autistic. I don't have the kind of money to get the diagnosis of that sort of thing. But I can tell you that I came up in a gifted talented program as a kid, and I grew up with a lot of kids that I think you would probably call autistic these days. Autism is not a disaster. Autism is not an epidemic. It is a different way of being. It's a different configuration. It's just as deserving of respect of any other type of human out there. So it's not something we need to eliminate, but it's something that Robert Fuckwit Kennedy keeps thinking we need to eliminate. And understand that that means these guys want to warehouse the autistic again. They want to put us behind institutions. They want us to no longer be seen. Because these guys are eugenics. When you talk about make America healthy again, the quickest way to make the aggregate American population healthier is to weed out the unhealthy ones. And with every move they make to dismantle the safety protections of our various federal agencies by cutting back on Medicaid, Medicare, the ability to get health care in this country, by pushing the so-called health freedom movement that makes it so that businesses and government agencies can't enforce vaccine mandates, to promote people going unvaccinated. This is all about thinning out the herd. People like Robert Kennedy, people like Donald Trump, you've always heard Donald Trump talk about his good genes, his uncle that went to MIT, it's all in the genes. These guys really believe in the Nazi shit, the Untermenschen. They believe that some people are genetically good and pure, and that they should be allowed to thrive, and that those who are disabled, weak, They should be thinned from the herd. They should be culled. They shouldn't be babied. They believe that it's a huge mistake that we have made over the years to continue to care for the weak, the disabled, the people with chronic lifetime conditions and diseases. Why we're not letting evolution weed those bad things out of the gene pool now, are we? You see it in Elon Musk and the reports now coming out, these messages about how he's putting together a legion of his offspring and all the ways that he manipulates the women, the baby mamas, to have his, what is it now, 14, 15 different kids? They believe they are the elect, that they are the good ones. They are the ones that should be propagating, and the rest of us, we should just wither off and die. Promoting things like, Robert Kennedy was saying the other day something to the effect that if you're healthy,
If you're a healthy person, then you really don't need to worry, because healthy people, if you have a healthy lifestyle, you're very not likely to come down with any diseases.
Give me a break, this guy. Healthy people come down with diseases all the time. That's why we came up with vaccination and health care. And the people who do get sick, who do have problems, they deserve care as well. Elon Musk and the Doge boys continue running roughshod over our federal government, allegedly needing to access all of our sensitive government systems to root out cases of waste, fraud, and abuse. Which is odd that you'd hire computer programmers to do that and not, forensic accountants, auditors. But nevertheless, they got their mission. They're supposedly going through trying to find billions and billions in waste, fraud, and abuse, which was originally going to be $2 trillion that we were going to uncover. And then Musk adjusted that to be $1 billion and then asked to provide receipts. They showed, we got a few hundred million that we uncovered, and then dug down deeper into that and found, it was some tens of millions. So orders of magnitude less once Elon Musk actually got into government and realized, this isn't a car company. This isn't a social media platform. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. So there's a whistleblower report that NPR has reported on that gets to the heart of the problem here. And it's not the uncovering of waste, fraud, and abuse. It has nothing to do with the money that's running through our federal government. What Elon Musk and Doge are doing is getting control of all our data. Boy, we had such a scare, such a concern a while back about TikTok, remember? Oh my God, we got to ban TikTok. We can't have TikTok out there. Why? The Chinese, they run TikTok, and they'll have the algorithm that'll promote all sorts of things that we don't want our kids to see. And then all of the data that the kids are putting into the TikTok, why, the Chinese will have all that data of, who they thought was cute in fourth period and what the latest Doja Cat song is. Yeah, we wouldn't want to have all that sensitive data. Meanwhile, let me just read from this NPR report. According to an official whistleblower disclosure shared with Congress and other federal overseers that was obtained by NPR, subsequent interviews with the whistleblowers and records of internal communications, technical staff members were alarmed about what Doge engineers did when they were granted access, particularly when those staffers noticed a spike in data leaving the National Labor Relations Board. It's possible that the data included sensitive information on unions, ongoing legal cases, and corporate secrets. Data that four labor law experts tell NPR should almost never leave the NLRB, and that has nothing to do with making the government more efficient or cutting spending. Continuing from NPR, quote, meanwhile, according to the disclosure and records of internal communications, members of the Doge team asked that their activities not be logged on the system. and then appeared to try to cover their tracks behind them, turning off monitoring tools and manually deleting records of their access. Evasive behavior that several cybersecurity experts interviewed by NPR compared to what criminal or state-sponsored hackers might do. The employees grew concerned that the NLRB's confidential data could be exposed, particularly after they started detecting suspicious login attempts from an IP address in Russia, according to the disclosure. Eventually, the disclosure continued, the IT department launched a formal review of what it deemed a serious ongoing security breach or potentially illegal removal of personally identifiable information. The whistleblower believes that the suspicious activity warrants further investigation by agencies with more resources, like the Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency or the FBI. Oh, yeah. Let's get it over to Kash Patel and the FBI. They'll get right on this. We are living through a wholesale funneling of our most sensitive national data. This union data, the people that are trying to put together unions, that can be ported over to the union busters to try to find ways to attack them. The information on corporate secrets, those can be funneled over to whichever enemy will pay the most money for it. This is the big, big issue going on right now. Vladimir Putin and our enemies couldn't have asked for more access to our federal government. The doors are wide open. The data is flowing freely to Russia and who knows who else. I want to tell you the story about Based Boomer Mom. This came forth in my social media feed on Blue Sky from a reporter named Phil Williams at philinvestigates.com. And it has to do with this poster, this woman who goes by Based Boomer Mom, and she's writing to her representative, Tim Burchett, about some problems she's got with her employer and DEI. She writes, quote, "Mr. Burchett, I work for the University of Tennessee, and my recent performance review was rife with DEI language. What should I do? I'm literally being evaluated based on my willingness to accept diversity, equity, and inclusion." And Burchett responds with, "Call my office with details, please." So, folks noticed this and started pulling up the rest of her social media feed to see why she would be so upset being evaluated on her willingness to accept diversity, equity, and inclusion. What could be the problem, Based Boomer Mom? Well, here's one tweet. Someone had tweeted out, "Delete one thing from this world that you think would make it better." She responded, "Jews, ninjas, and liberal women." Except she didn't use the word ninjas. Of course, that's three things to delete from the world to make it better, but no one can expect Based Boomer Mom to understand basic English. Okay, so yeah, she's got a problem with Jews, ninjas, and liberal women, and can't understand why she'd be evaluated on DEI. Here's another post. Nicholas Fuentes, the well-known anti-Semite that Donald Trump had dinner with, he had written that Trent Horn is living proof that an ethnic Jew can claim to be Catholic while still acting exactly like any other liberal feminist histrionic Jew. Does he even do apologetics anymore, or is it all finger-wagging about racism, sexism, and anti-Semitism? Based Boomer Mom liked that and responded, "You can't un-Jew the Jews." Gee, why is she so worried about University of Tennessee evaluating her on diversity, equity, and inclusion? Nick Fuentes again posted a picture with Trump and Bibi Netanyahu, and someone else responded, "The difference is that you would do it for Hitler." And Based Boomer Mom responded, "Hitler deserves respect." Goodness, Based Boomer Mom, why would anyone have any problems with the diversity, equity, and inclusion? So people are trying to identify who this woman is. Here's some posts that maybe have some clues. She wrote, "My priest once told us that we must turn away from the modern world, much like the Amish." He continues by saying, "I'm a boomer, and this is not a generational take. It's a liberal hating your own race take. I'd go all Charles Bronson if this were my kid." Okay. "And yes, I remember the whites only water fountain. Whites were very safe in my southern hometown." So this was about 13 hours ago, and as of 11 hours ago, Based Boomer Mom is no longer available on social media. So apparently the folks are starting to track her down, and Based Boomer Mom might be going through a few things. Harvard University has stood up against President Trump and his DEI purge, and I'd like to remind everyone, DEI is the shortest way they can spell the N-word at this point. Anytime they say DEI, you can just imagine that they're saying the N-word in their head. That's what this is all about. Well, because Harvard would not give in to the DEI purge and refuse to inject conservatives into academia where they don't belong, Trump has withheld $2.2 billion in grants that were destined for Harvard. Harvard, of course, has a $53 billion endowment, so I think they can take the hit. But now they're trying to attack Harvard in other ways. Trump was recently saying that Harvard should lose its tax-exempt status, because tax-exempt status is a privilege that's only given out to institutions that are supporting the public good. As if Harvard hasn't done legions of work in supporting the public good. But hey, if we're talking about organizations that are tax exempt that we could revoke their status for, how about Joel Osteen's megachurch? The pastor who pays himself over $50 million a year out of his tax exempt church profits. How about we start going after some of those guys that aren't providing anybody with any sort of education whatsoever, in at least in anything factual, anything provable? Let's revoke their tax-exempt status. How about that? The other attack that they're working on is preventing Harvard from being able to admit in any international students. You know, give them some problems with their visas through DHS and such. Well, you know, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't think it's going to be an issue. How many international students are going to want to come study in the United States of America anymore, knowing that their social media feeds will be scanned and any hint of dislike or disfavor with regard to Orange Cheeto Mussolini or Israel is going to get them kicked out of the country, and maybe not in a nice way, maybe abducted like Rumeysa Ozturk was, by plainclothes masked thugs who won't identify themselves. This is going to be one of the lasting legacies of this Trump 2.0 maladministration, is the destruction of intellectual capital in this country. The brain drain, the flight of scientists, of the well-educated, of the professionals leaving this country for better places, you know, places where they could actually get healthcare and more free education, have a social safety net, and not have to worry that their government is going to abduct them off the streets with no warrants and no probable cause. This is exactly what happened with Nazi Germany. It's part of how we won World War II. So many of their rocket scientists and nuclear scientists made their way to the United States where they could be free, where they wouldn't have to kowtow to the whims of a brutal dictator. How long is it going to take us to rebuild this? Who is ever going to trust the United States again? Knowing that every 4 years that comes around, there's the possibility that we will elect the worst possible human being to lead our country. How is the world going to trust us? I can see them forgiving us for the first Trump administration. Everybody gets fooled by populists now and then, but to re-elect them, after the intervening 4 years, after the insurrection, the felony convictions, everything that came out about him, We just couldn't vote for the nice black lady, could we? I got plenty of excuses for why the Democrats failed to meet the moment in 2024. It starts with Joe Biden breaking his promise. I remember distinctly after Bernie Sanders had won the first couple of primaries and all the Democratic centrists got scared as hell that we might actually move to the left in this country. We might actually stand for the people in this country. We might actually address some populism in this country. They got so scared, they all marshaled their forces, got Elizabeth Warren to drop out, got Pete Buttigieg to drop out. Everybody drop out. Let's all coalesce behind Joe Biden. I remember James Clyburn in South Carolina orchestrating that, making sure that Joe Biden would be the winner. And part of what that campaign was all about was Joe Biden assuring us that he would be a transitional president. Assuring us that he was just the bridge to the next generation, that he would be handing over power to the new leadership, that he would be a one-term transitional president. You remember those days? Yeah, we can lay a lot of this at the feet of Joe Biden and his, I don't know, arrogance? I don't know if it's a lust for power. I don't know what it was, but some sort of arrogance here to think that he could continue being president well into his 80s and run for re-election, completely hobbling any growth in the Democratic Party, standing in the way of the next possible president, be it Harris or Buttigieg or Warren or whoever else might have risen. But when he decided he was going to stay in the Oval Office, he was going to run for re-election, the die was cast. It was the beginning and the end of that point. And then, of course, Harris giving the late nod without any sort of primary. And I'll admit, I was one of the people saying that if Joe Biden steps aside, it has to go to Kamala Harris because you can't have the first black woman vice president being pushed aside. But she wouldn't have had to been pushed aside had Joe Biden stuck to his original promise, and then we could have had a real primary instead of his, you know, coronation going past Dean Phillips and Marianne Williamson. There's a lot of blame to go around here. But all of that is in the wash for the people internationally looking at us, because there's no way they can look at what's happened here in the United States and not conclude that we are a nation of idiots. A nation of brainwashed, propagandized, obese idiots. You see it in these trolling videos that the Chinese departments of state are putting out with Trump and J.D. Vance and Elon Musk in these AI videos putting screws in iPhones and such. How the world's going to begin to, or continue, I should say, see us. A bunch of obese, arrogant, uneducated, propagandized, brainwashed idiots. Time now for our Boycott Idaho segment, the time when I explain why you should avoid the handmade state. You can find all 62 reasons now up at my website at radicalrust.com/Idaho. And today's reason for boycotting the handmade state is it's a state where you can do more time for selling bongs than beating your girlfriend or even beating up cops. This comes out of out of Idaho, where recent reports from the Boise news media are discussing how the cops now are enforcing Idaho's laws against paraphernalia. Now, Idaho has had paraphernalia shops, otherwise known as head shops or glass shops, where you go in and they've got rolling papers and glass pipes and bongs and all the accoutrements one might need for consuming cannabis. But of course, in these shops, since Idaho still maintains the absolute prohibition on marijuana, these shops will often have a sign that'll say, "For tobacco use only." You all know this little grift, this little game. "For tobacco use only," as if anyone has ever smoked tobacco out of a 4-foot glass bong. But this has been the little game that head shop owners have been playing since the dawn of the drug era in the 1960s. The little trick here being that if these devices weren't made for using drugs, why, they're not paraphernalia. And so we're going to claim that they're being used for tobacco. And this is the little loophole that glass shops, even in Idaho, had been using for years to stay open and continue selling their wares. But come lately, the Boise police have gone to a few of these shops and told them that everything or 80% of the stuff on their shelves is absolutely illegal, needs to be removed, or they will be busted. Now, during my time back in Idaho, back in 2018 and 2020, I was helping with some medical marijuana campaigns there. I was actually consulting with one of these small businessmen who was opening up a shop. He'd opened up a hemp store, Hemp World it was called, and it sold hemp clothing and hemp soap and hemp oils and, you know, various counterculture things, you know, tie-dye and hacky sacks and posters and stuff. But the business wasn't very good, wasn't doing very much business there. And so he wanted to expand into the burgeoning distribution of CBD products and glass, you know, the pipes and the bongs and such. And I told him the CBD products were kind of legal. It's dubious as to whether they're perfectly legal. They'd be okay so long as they contained absolutely no THC in them. Because even though the Farm Bill in 2018 made hemp legal, and hemp is cannabis with less than 0.3% THC in it, and it made the products from hemp legal, federally speaking, Idaho at the state level has always had a strict zero tolerance against tetrahydrocannabinols, THC, of any variation. It's an interesting quirk in the Idaho law in that they make their definitions of marijuana dependent on THC in such a way that anything with THC in it can be busted as marijuana. This actually happened when, you know, shortly after the Farm Bill passed, a truckload of industrial hemp was coming through from, I think it was Oregon on its way to Colorado, or Colorado on its way to Oregon. I forget which direction it was going, but the Idaho State Police stopped it on Interstate 84, and they found 6,700 pounds of industrial hemp in the back, and they busted the trucker for felony drug trafficking. And this was after the hemp bill had made, you know, the federal hemp bill had made hemp legal, but in Idaho, guy was busted, was facing felony drug trafficking charges for hemp that you could, nobody would ever smoke it. It would never get you high. Those charges later got reduced to a misdemeanor. And the guy actually, the misdemeanor charge that the guy got was transporting hemp without the proper paperwork to transport hemp, which would have been impossible for him because there was no paperwork that allowed you to transport hemp in the state. That's how crazy Idaho law is. Anything with THC in it is marijuana. It even stops the sale of the so-called Delta 8 THC. Understand, I don't get too far in the weeds here, pardon the pun, but the THC molecule in pot is called Delta 9 THC. It's a certain variation of the THC molecule. There are other THC molecule variations. So in other states, where they specifically list Delta 9 THC as an illegal thing, these other states, there's a loophole. Well, we can get away with selling Delta 8 because it's a different thing. It's a different molecule. It's not legal, not illegal. That doesn't work in Idaho. Idaho, it's any sort of tetrahydrocannabinol, period, no matter what Delta number you put in front of it. So I told him the CBD stuff, okay, maybe that's, you know, iffy if you want to chance it. But the glass, I told him that would be a terrible idea. Because in Idaho, the mere possession of a pot pipe is a misdemeanor with a potential 1 year stay in jail. And you would get charged for possession of each one would be a separate charge. So if you got inventory of, you know, 50 pipes, that's 50 misdemeanors you're looking at. But making or selling a piece of paraphernalia like a bong, making or selling a bong in Idaho is a felony, with up to 9 years in prison and a $30,000 fine. 9 years in prison, $30,000 fine. And those items, by the way, don't have to be used to be considered paraphernalia. The law in Idaho allows for circumstantial evidence that someone should reasonably know that an item is paraphernalia despite the innocence of the owner. So that's why Idaho is a no-sell state for various international and national purveyors of glass. But this guy continued. He kept saying, so-and-so's shop has been selling glass for years down the street. And that guy over there has been selling glass for years. Nobody's ever busted them. Never been a problem for them. So he disregarded me and went ahead and put glass into the store. Well, he's one of the stores that got raided. And a few of the others got raided. One glass shop owner is out $60,000 worth of inventory. And now the glass shop owners are allegedly putting together their own trade group to try to lobby for better laws for glass shop owners in the state of Idaho. Good luck with that, because Idaho is bound and determined to make sure that marijuana shall always be legal and the people who use it shall always be discriminated against. So 9 years you can get for being the shop owner who sells a bong. Meanwhile, just a couple of other stories to tell you about in Idaho. Recently over in Idaho Falls, a drunk driver got into a fight with two other cops, two of the cops that arrested him. And in the fight, one of those cops' hand was broken. The drunk driver gets in the fight with the cops that pulled him over, breaks the hand of one of the cops. It was his third DUI. So because of that, that aggravates the charge to a felony DUI charge. And he got two felony counts of assaulting an officer. But the prosecutors decided to give a plea deal to this third-time DUI drunk driver. His plea deal allowed him to plead guilty to one of the assaults, one of the felony assaults to the cop, and plead guilty to a reduced misdemeanor DUI charge for his third DUI. He got sentenced to 5 years of probation. Had they caught him with a pot pipe at the time, he could have done a year in jail for that. But no, just 5 years of probation for his third DUI and fighting two cops. Good thing he didn't try to sell a bong. Meanwhile, over in Nampa, my hometown in Nampa, a 21-year-old young man was caught by police in the act of beating and strangling his girlfriend in the presence of their young child. Quote, "The victim told officers that before they arrived, he had punched her in the face and knocked her over. He then continued punching and strangling her until the officer arrived and intervened. Medical records show the abuse left the victim with a broken eye orbital and numerous cuts and bruises on her face and head. Subsequent medical records also showed the victim suffered a traumatic brain injury," end quote, a police spokesman told the Idaho News 6. Deputy Prosecutor Monica Morrison, who successfully got the man convicted on two felony charges of attempted strangulation and domestic battery in the presence of a child, said, quote, "This is one of, if not the worst, domestic violence and strangulation cases that I have ever seen during my time as a prosecutor." She managed to get him prosecuted on these two counts, two felony counts, attempted strangulation and domestic battery in the presence of a child, and serving those terms concurrently, he will spend the next 8 years in prison. 8 years in prison. Good thing he wasn't trying to make a bong, where he might have faced 9 years in prison. Today in the rant, I want to talk about the alternate reality being inhabited by, roughly a third of the United States. This alternate reality that's put forth by the purveyors of propaganda at Fox News and Newsmax and OANN, whatever other online outlets there might be, as well as Nextdoor and Facebook, the way people tend to congregate on those and share their fears, their racist fears. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this because I saw a note in the parking lot the other day. This woman had taken the time to print it out on her own paper, like off her computer, and taped it to the inside of her window. And it gives me just this view of this alternate reality that they inhabit. Let me just read you the note. It says, quote, "Wow, I have been offended by the left for years and still haven't," and then there's a bullet list, "firebombed anything, vandalized vehicles, kept anyone from exercising their right to say what they want, even if I disagree with them, occupied someone else's property, or threatened to kill anyone. What does tolerance mean to you?" So this woman going around in her mind thinks that people like you and me, people on the left, are out firebombing stuff, are vandalizing vehicles, which is hits pretty hard to me because of the big, massive gouge down the left side of our vehicle that we got in Mike Johnson's home district when someone ruthlessly keyed the side of my car just because we had a Harris Walls bumper sticker on it. So yeah, vandalizing vehicles. Okay, go on. "Kept anyone from exercising their right to say what they want, even if I disagree with them." What? This is where they complain that, you know, they can't say the N-word anymore. They can't call people R-words and such, right? No one's keeping you from exercising your right to say those things. We're just not protecting you anymore from the consequences of your speech. We're no longer letting bygones be bygones and letting shit slide anymore. You're getting called out on it now. That's the difference. Occupied someone else's property, says this woman, when people on the right ransacked our Capitol and occupied it. When people like Ammon Bundy occupied the Malheur National Refuge out in Eastern Oregon. What else have we not done over here on the left? Have we murdered any abortion doctors lately? Have we run over any protesters with our cars? Have we gunned down a store full of Latinos? Or gunned down a church full of blacks? Or gunned down a synagogue full of Jews? Or gunned down a nightclub full of gays? They live in this world that's inhabited by the scaremongering on Fox News that will show one Tesla dealership somewhere that got vandalized. And notice how much thought they put into protecting private property. "I didn't firebomb anything or vandalize any vehicles or occupied someone's property." Three of the five complaints she has about the left have to do with property, whether or not someone's property had been attacked. They have to keep putting together this crazed world where the cities are all on fire. And I know that some of us on the left can't really understand how they see the world. They literally think that Portland, Oregon is a war zone. Like right now, if you went to Portland, there'd be riot cops in the streets. There'd be tires on fire. They really believe this stuff. So I just wanted to bring this out and ask about this belief in the violent left and how we're ever going to get these people to see reality. I don't see how this ratchets back. How do we pry these people away from Fox News and all these right-wing outlets that are filling their minds with junk, that are telling them that Kilmar Garcia is some sort of MS-13 member, that tell them that Musk and Doge just have their best interests at heart and are just trying to find waste, fraud, and abuse? We are some of the most propagandized people on the face of the earth. And as much as I decry our suicide pact that we've made with the Second Amendment, everybody gets a gun anytime they want, everywhere they want, despite the fact that we're shooting each other up. We have these mass shootings, which is interesting how we haven't had very much talk of mass shootings lately, isn't it? I wonder, are there still mass shootings going on, but everything else that's happening in the world is so much worse that we don't even have the time to think of our mass shootings anymore? We don't even have time for the thoughts and prayers anymore? That's how bad the Trump maladministration is? As bad as our suicide pact that the Second Amendment is, maybe we need to start thinking about our suicide pact with the First Amendment. That anybody can say anything to anybody at any time. That money is speech and unlimited political spending is legal. Maybe we need to take a look at that. Do we take it in the direction of Europe? Have laws against hate speech? Laws against speech that's designed to denigrate, dehumanize, and motivate attacks against people? I don't know how we're going to fix it. I just know about a third of this country are people that are lost at this point. Well, folks, that's all the time I've got this morning for the podcast. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalrus.com and nowhere else. And for our post-credit scene, this thing came across my social media that was hilarious. From MAGA Cult Slayer. MAGA Cult Slayer writes, China has halted U.S. beef imports and has struck a deal with Australia instead. Billions wiped out of U.S. cattle ranchers' pockets. Is this making America great? And then the person who responded, too lowbrow, responded, what other countries have over a billion people? We can just start selling beef to India. We'll just start selling beef to India. Oh, what a great idea. And you know, they're not buying any of our Jack Daniels up there in Canada anymore. Why don't we just sell all that alcohol to some rich guys? You know, like the Saudis. Yeah, we can have the Saudis buy all our alcohol. And I know that we're having some problems with our electronic components and getting them sold overseas. Why not just sell them domestically to the Amish? Selling beef to India. Oh, man, we got an education problem in this country, don't we? Oh, my God. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at RadicalRuss.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other. Beef to India.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.